It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and online at www.rir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
In practical terms, the way houses get restored to the borrower in these cases is through settlement. I know of no case that has actually gone to trial in which the borrower gets an order of the court to restore the house to the borrower. But there's a fair number of cases where lenders have voluntarily returned the house. And there are some cases in which borrowers do that without being sued. There are cases where you will see lawsuits have been filed by the lender through the substitute trustee saying, we made a mistake. We would like to set this aside and ask the court to return the house to the borrower because the lender itself found that they had made a mistake and they wanted to make it right.
Private attorney Henry McLaughlin discusses mortgage foreclosures, the various rules lenders must follow in order to foreclose, and how borrowers can stop foreclosures. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll find out about a nearly $1 billion settlement with SunTrust Mortgage due to improper mortgage servicing. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 241, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio and online at www.rir.org. and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Virginia residents are expected to receive about $34 million in loan modifications or other relief as part of a $968 million national settlement of improper mortgage complaints against Richmond-based SunTrust Mortgage. About 3,200 eligible Virginia borrowers whose loans were serviced by SunTrust and who lost their home to foreclosure from January 1, 2008 through December 31, 2013, and encountered servicing abuse, will be eligible for a payment from the national $40 million fund for payments to borrowers. The amount will depend on how many borrowers file claims. Based on the number of eligible Virginia borrowers compared to the national total, Virginians are projected to receive about $2.5 million through the claim form process. Eligible borrowers will be contacted about how to qualify for payments. The agreement also requires SunTrust to provide Virginia borrowers with loan modifications or other relief, expected to be worth an estimated $31.5 million. The modifications, which SunTrust chooses through an extensive list of options, includes principal reductions and refinancing for underwater mortgages. SunTrust decides how many loans and which loans to modify, but must meet certain minimum targets. Consumers who have questions or believe they may be eligible for relief or compensation as part of the settlement should contact SunTrust directly at 800-634-7928 or by using the email contact form at www.suntrustmortgage.com. In other news, as of July 1st, rent-to-own stores will no longer be able to routinely use Commonwealth attorneys to collect their debts. The change in the law was passed unanimously by the Virginia House of Delegates and the Virginia State Senate, simply by adding 8 words to an existing criminal statute. Under Code of Virginia Section 18.2-118, it is a crime to lease personal property and not pay for it or not return it when the lease period has expired. The law was intended to be used by companies who lease items such as cars or party equipment to be sure the rented property is paid for and returned. However, rent-to-own stores have been using this criminal statute to threaten consumers who fall behind on their payments, demanding that consumers return items such as refrigerators and washing machines or face criminal prosecution. But no more. As of July 1st, this criminal statute no longer applies to property rented under the Virginia Lease Purchase Statute. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbrun. Mortgage lenders often fail to send a proper 30-day cure notice, fail to follow FHA requirements for foreclosure, and fail to follow CFPB regulations prohibiting dual tracking. Private attorney Henry McLaughlin discusses mortgage foreclosures, the various rules lenders must follow in order to foreclose, and how borrowers can stop foreclosures in the second part of a two-part interview. I know in past years, the Federal Truth in Lending Act has been helpful in some situations in preventing foreclosure or possibly getting a foreclosure rescue scam wiped out. Can you tell us briefly what that's all about?
Now, the Federal Truth in Lending Act doesn't do anything about rescue scams by third parties who are mistreating people. But what it does do is say that the lender must tell the borrower the essentials of the loan in a way that is understandable and that the borrower can take to another lender and do comparison shopping. And it has, the requirement is that the lender must tell the borrower the annual percentage rate, which is the true cost of the loan, the finance charge, which is the cost of the loan in dollars, the amount financed, the total of payments, and the number due date and number of months of payments. And the lender must also give the borrower a statement in writing saying that the borrower has 3 business days to rescind and to walk away. And if the lender fails to do any of those things, the borrower has an extended right to rescind up to 3 years. And so, and the Congress made it easier for homeowners to invoke their right to rescind within 3 years if they are facing a foreclosure. If the lender understates the finance charge, it's material if it's 0.5% of the loan, which is a fairly large amount of money. But if a borrower is facing a foreclosure, it's $35. And so if there's any kind of chicanery in the loan or some sort of sloppiness in or understating what the actual cost is, the borrower within 3 years may have an opportunity to rescind, and that may be grounds to stop the foreclosure.
And there's one other ground to stop a foreclosure. I know you were involved in bringing litigation on this and got a good decision, and that has to do with federal housing regulations. Can you tell us what that's all about and perhaps the case that you brought on that point?
If it's an FHA loan and the homeowner is living in the property, then the FHA, the deed of trust says that has language in it that amounts to saying you cannot foreclose unless you comply with the FHA regulations. And these fall into 2 categories. One category is that you have to have the lender has to offer the borrower a face-to-face meeting if the lender has an office within 200 miles of the borrower's home. Either the lender or the servicer and that includes any branch office. And the case you were talking about is a case brought by Central Virginia Legal Aid when I was here and finished when I left. But in that case held that the branch office It's not just a home office. If the branch office is within 200 miles, it must provide the face-to-face meeting. The regulations say that at a minimum, the lender must send the borrower a letter and come to the home. And there have been a significant number of cases where the lenders have tried to foreclose and have not met those obligations. The second set of regulations is that is loss mitigation. The lender must look at different kinds of possible loss mitigation to determine if there's a way to save money to HUD. If it's cheaper to HUD to do a loan modification or deed in lieu or something else other than foreclosure, then the lender has to go that route rather than foreclosure. And that will apply even if the lender and the servicer are more than 200 miles away from the borrower's home. Now, the face-to-face meeting issue has been addressed twice by the Virginia Supreme Court. First, in the Matthews case that you alluded to, that really was a Central Virginia legal aid case. And the other case is Squire versus Virginia Housing Development Authority, which came down very recently this year. And that is a case in which the Supreme Court held that if a foreclosure takes place without a face-to-face meeting where it was required, the borrower can sue for damages. And in that case, there was a claim of a loss of equity of over $100,000, and went on to hold that the substitute trustee can be held personally liable for conducting such a sale. So the other class of cases involving loss mitigation that don't involve face-to-face meetings has not been addressed by the Virginia Supreme Court, but there have been several cases by circuit courts, including the Henrico Circuit Court and several other circuit courts, which have held that the lender must also comply with those requirements, and that that's a grounds for claim for damages if there was a foreclosure without going through that process.
So let's assume one of these grounds to stop a foreclosure exists. There's a problem with the 30-day right to cure notice, or the loan modification application was submitted in time, or there was a failure to follow federal housing regulations, or possibly even a federal truth in lending violation and a valid rescission. What does the homeowner, borrower, actually do to stop this foreclosure that is, in fact, taking place outside of the judicial process in almost all cases?
Well, the homeowner has two choices. One choice is to file a declaratory judgment action in which a lawsuit on behalf of the homeowner states that this is what has happened. This foreclosure is not appropriate. It's getting ready to happen. Absent this lawsuit, they intend to foreclose, and ask the court for a declaratory judgment that any such foreclosure be void or voidable, and that the lender is not entitled to add that cost to the obligation of the note or to the lien of the deed of trust, and then file a lis pendens, which is something that notifies the world that this lawsuit has been filed, and then call upon the substitute trustee to cancel the sale. Virginia law holds that the substitute trustee must be impartial between the lender and the borrower, even though they're hired by the lender. And there are two Virginia Supreme Court cases on that. And then there's a case out of the Circuit Court of Fairfax called Brimmer v. Bittner that says that if a substitute trustee is put on notice of a good faith defense to a sale and goes forward with the sale anyway, that the substitute trustee can be held personally liable. And this recent, very recent Squires versus VHDA case can be construed to go beyond that to suggest that this substitute trustee must use due diligence, because in that case they upheld a claim to go back for trial against the substitute trustee on grounds that they foreclosed even though no face-to-face meeting was held. So there's an argument to be made that that means that the substitute trustee is supposed to look into it, see what was the requirement met. But where a lawsuit has been filed and a declaratory judgment action and a lis pendens, and the lawyer for the homeowner sends that to the substitute trustee and says, I call on you to cancel this, and you can be personally liable if you don't. then the substitute trustee has got a decision to make. And they take that seriously, and they often will counsel under those circumstances. The other choice for the borrower is to file an injunction suit and seek an injunction order from the court, in which case, if the court orders an injunction, then, of course, there cannot be a sale if the court enjoins. In an injunction case, the court will probably require the borrower to post a bond. So that is an issue, and if the borrower doesn't post a bond, then the borrower, then the lender can go forward with the foreclosure. If it's not a legal aid case, if somebody's going to a private lawyer, it's likely the private lawyer would charge less if it's a declaratory judgment action. So there's a double financial issue involved. One, increased attorney's fees for an injunction and the bond. So I know there are many, many cases in which these foreclosures have been canceled because of a declaratory judgment.
And in your experience, how often does the substitute trustee cancel the sale after the substitute trustee has received notice from the lawyer on behalf of the borrower that this declaratory judgment action and this lis pendens has been filed?
It's rare that the substitute trustee goes forward. It happens, but it's very rare.
I'm sure you've seen in your practice that sometimes homeowners, borrowers don't try to get legal help until after the foreclosure sale has already happened. In those situations, can the foreclosure be reversed? Can title be put back in the name of the homeowner borrower?
A lot of lawsuits have been filed seeking return of the house. The Virginia Supreme Court in the 1930s in the Everett case held that if the trustee or the substitute trustee did not foreclose properly, that this can be grounds for an equitable relief to reverse the foreclosure. In the recent case of the Squire v. Virginia Housing Development Authority, the Virginia Supreme Court said you cannot reverse it through what's called a quiet title action, because technically the quiet title action, you have to have paid off the entire mortgage. But the court went on to say that the court was not going to decide whether or not you could get a rescission in that case, because in that case, it was a third-party purchaser who bought that house, having no notice, the court held not sufficient notice that there was any problem with the sale, and so the third-party buyer was entitled to keep the house. And so the court held that there was not a sufficient case in that case for the court to decide if you could get rescission. So, but the recent case in the Eastern District, which was decided April 11th, in that case, the court overruled a motion to dismiss where the borrower was trying to upset the sale on the grounds that the borrower was only told that the borrower could argue in the foreclosure process against foreclosure and was not told that the borrower could file suit. And the court went so far in that case as to deny, at least temporarily, a motion to dismiss that case until more could be learned about the equities between the parties. In a practical terms, the way houses get restored to the borrower in these cases is through settlement. I know of no case that has actually gone to trial in which the borrower gets an order of the court to restore the house to the borrower. But there's a fair number of cases where lenders have voluntarily returned the house. And there are some cases in which borrowers do that without being sued. There are cases where you will see lawsuits have been filed by the lender through the substitute trustee saying, we made a mistake, we would like to set this aside and ask the court to return the house to the borrower. Because the lender itself found that they had made a mistake and they wanted to make it right.
Which is a good segue to the next question, which is another lawsuit, of course, that the lender, if they bought the property at the foreclosure sale, would file, could be an unlawful detainer, an eviction case, in the general district court. When that happens, is there anything that the homeowner, or now technically former homeowner, can do.
There's one circuit court judge, Judge Marco, who has ruled that in defense of a unlawful attainder case, the borrower can raise the invalidity of the foreclosure as a defense to eviction. He stands alone. All of the other circuit court judges who have decided this issue have held that the borrower cannot raise that issue in defense against foreclosure. However, if there is a grounds to set aside the foreclosure, the borrower could file a lawsuit in circuit court, this time seek an injunction to stop eviction. And there are cases, there have been cases in which there have been consolidation of the eviction case on appeal from general district court to circuit court with an affirmative action taken to set aside the foreclosure. It's not uncommon where the borrower files an affirmative lawsuit for the lender to agree, if the lender bought the house back at the foreclosure, to agree to stay the eviction with the borrower posting a monthly bond until the affirmative case can be decided or settled. So it is possible for borrowers to fight eviction, but in almost all cases they need to take affirmative action, not just defend the eviction.
And so in conclusion, if you're a homeowner, borrower, who is behind on his, her mortgage, what are the first few steps that you should take to protect yourself?
Well, this isn't a direct answer to your question, but I just want to take this opportunity to make one point. The first thing is don't get behind if you can help it. And there are cases in which borrowers have said that lenders told them to get behind, that lenders have said to them, you can't be considered for a loan modification unless you get behind. And if somebody listening to this, if you're a borrower, do not take that as the way it is, because it's not. For example, if you're looking for trying to get a HAMP loan modification, the eligibility rules say that you can be eligible if you're current on the loan, if you're struggling and in imminent danger of falling behind. There are a fair number of cases that have been brought in which borrowers have claimed that the lender told them that. And if you hear that from anybody, that's not good advice. And don't get behind if you can help it. It hurts your credit and it puts you at danger of foreclosure. If you can't help it and you are behind, I would go to NACA, I'd go to the HUD-sponsored counseling agencies and get moving on trying to get a loan modification. Now, one of the things we have not talked about here is bankruptcy. I'm not a fan of bankruptcy, but sometimes bankruptcy is the best solution because a bankruptcy will stop a foreclosure, at least for some period of time. It absolutely 100% will stop a foreclosure. A Chapter 13 bankruptcy is what's called a stretch out, or what I call a stretch out, in which you catch up the mortgage over time. That is a very expensive way to force a loan modification on the lender. And it's not a good thing if you can find any other alternative that will work. But if somebody's got a home, has got a lot of equity, and they're about to be foreclosed on it, everything else fails, and they don't have some grounds to stop the foreclosure, a Chapter 13 bankruptcy may be a good solution. And in some cases, a Chapter 7, which is called a liquidation, in which you say, in the main, take my debts, take my belonging, take my property, and take my debts, with some exceptions for both, that will at least gain a respite as to a foreclosure. There are possibilities such as a short sale, where if the house is underwater, that you seek agreement by the lender to accept a sale for less than the amount owed with no deficiency. And if one wants to pursue that, what you do is go to a real estate agent and have them do the work, and they get paid only if they make the sale. I try to get a loan modification, look at creative alternatives such as renting out rooms to be able to catch up on the mortgage. But if you're facing the foreclosure, I'd go see a lawyer, because there's a very good chance that there's a defect in the foreclosure and it could be postponed or stopped.
Well, thank you very much. We have been talking with Henry McLaughlin. He is a lawyer who concentrates in foreclosure prevention and rescue. Thank you so much for being on the show, Henry.
Thank you.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. The American Civil Liberties Union of Virginia has expressed concern that the 30-year lease between the city and the Monroe Park Conservancy does not contain explicit provisions for free speech in the park. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when ACLU attorney Rebecca Glenberg talks about the law of free speech and public forums. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegner.